Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Back at it again with another Shade of Blue. My name is Cody Bradley. I've got Thad Bell and Robert Russert here with me as always. We are SB Nation's The Blue Testament. And if you are still confused, we've got the answer. Joining us on the show tonight is former Sporting Kansas City player and current television color analyst, Jake Peterson. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? I like color vision. That sounds good.
I save time. I'm very efficient in my intros.
It's like CinemaScope for the 21st century. Yeah. Jake, hey, thanks for joining us, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Right, I've only been trying to do this for like 6 months now, right?
Yeah,
I'm really good at returning texts and phone calls, as you found out, right?
Yeah, well, it worked out.
Well, it's almost like we're in the middle of a pandemic and the soccer seasons.
Weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think everyone's got some questions they want to ask you, but let's just, I would like to get your thoughts on the current state of Sporting Kansas City. The team is maybe not where they were thought to be at after a hot start to the season. So just what do you think of the squad right now?
Yeah, dude, it's weird because this season is unlike any other. I mean, obviously with the pandemic and shaking everything up, but I've never seen, I mean, really with the exception of Columbus, almost every team is going through these ups and downs, and especially the West. I mean, you could say Seattle's maybe kind of found a groove, but man,
the West
every
is crazy
team
right
is
now.
Just up and down. And right now, Sporting is in that down cycle. One of those things, I don't think necessarily the play has been bad, especially maybe that first half against Orlando wasn't great. But the play's been okay. It's just the goal scoring right now, it's kind of flashing back to, you know, 2014, 2015 mm-hmm. Sporting when I missed a bunch of those chances, I'm sure. So it's the current roster.
Like taking responsibility, Jake. All right.
But with the current roster, you wouldn't think that there are a lot of good players, good finishers, good attackers. And for whatever reason, it's just they're not quite putting it all together on the attacking end, even though I think the play's been okay. So I would say overall, I mean, they're still sitting good right now. I mean, in the table. And like I said, I just think everybody in the league's been up and down, that it's really hard to say that, you know, this is the clear favorite, especially in the West.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you'd have the bottom feeders. But, man, it's tough on the players and teams, I think, as we've seen, to really put together a consistent run and be consistent with just the way that the season's been so far.
Yeah. Do you think that has a lot to do with consistent lineup, you know, injuries, Pulido, Ilya being out, Roger?
Yes. I think, obviously, without Allen, he's – I mean, I've said it a bunch on broadcasts, but when I watch him and break down his film, and it's not just his scoring and in the box. It's what he does for possession with the team. And him and Gotti had a real good relationship going. And whether it was Kyrie, who can, you know, when Allen checks back into the midfield and you have, you know, Kyrie or Johnny running in behind, it was just like a well-oiled machine already, which is kind of crazy considering they haven't had a whole lot of practice time and everything together. And losing him obviously hurts. But then you bring in, you know, Gerso and move Kyrie up there. So you still have the players. But I do think losing Roger is a big one as well. Even though I think that Felipe Hernandez has done a pretty decent job in there, there's nobody like Roger.
Yeah, pretty decent is sure, but pretty decent is not Roger.
Yeah, I mean, there's just that bite that Roger has, right? It's like that that presence on the field. When things aren't going well and you need a spark, you need somebody to get stuck in or, you know, make a hard run to the corner or whatever, Roger's always kind of been that guy. And without him and then without Allen, I think it's kind of and then the injuries, the inconsistent lineups, yeah, I mean, I think all of the above really have kind of factored into why no team and Sporting's in that group has really been consistent yet.
It is crazy in the West right now, from top to bottom is only 10 points difference. And San Jose, which has been terrible, is only 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the other side's really pretty much in the same boat.
And too, like, we don't really know who the good teams are, who the best teams are, because your teams are still playing in your region for the most part. Like, you know, Sporting's had one kind of right. crossover game, but like, who really knows? Like, we don't really know. It's just such a weird season that it's hard to really pinpoint to one thing because it's all just crazy.
The playoffs will be interesting.
The weird travel too. I mean, like, teams are not coming in the night before, they're flying in the day of the game, and that's adding a little weirdness to how they approach things too.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And I mean, it's one of those things. I talk to guys, but you still don't even – I can't even really imagine dealing with everything that they're going through and still trying to put in good performances. And I mean, every team's dealing with it, so every team's having to deal with the same problems. But it's certainly a tough one to find any consistency.
I think it's a good time to have for the question you mentioned to me before we started here.
You mentioned the first half against Orlando was not the best. And there's been a couple other games where there's been maybe not the – they didn't start off really as well as they wanted to. You may have been in there in the past when a half didn't go right in the first. Can you talk us through, like, what a halftime's like with – you know, because I know the fans imagine Peter comes in and just yells at everybody. But can you give any enlightenment in that without giving away any secret sauce or – too much info?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's Peter's the he should have a psychology major on the side, because he's all about getting into the team's head, you know, finding out what's gonna work. But sometimes when — and I don't know how this talk was — but sometimes when you're playing terrible, Pete will come in there and, hey, it's not that bad, you know, kind of be that positive, the reverse psychology thing, giving guys confidence and all that. Or sometimes when you're playing well, he comes in there, you know, and just lights everybody up. So it's hard to really know. he's good at picking, you know, the moments on, all right, this is the time where we need to, you know, get into the guys and let them know that they're not playing well. Or, you know, all right, let's give them some confidence. We'll back off. But I think a lot of that too is, if the team's playing decent soccer, let's say, and they're just, you know, the final pass is off or your technique's off, then it's all right, guys. It's more that positive talk, I think. But if it's guys aren't — the work ethic isn't there, right? And they're just losing second balls and kind of those staples that PV has always had. in his teams, then it's more of you need to kick in the ass. Let's go, guys. Like, we're not going to get outworked this game, you know, the second half or whatever. And that Orlando game, they just – I mean, the team was not good. That wasn't – they didn't have the intensity. They didn't play like the home team, which is, you know, uncommon, especially recently. But so I would assume that that talk was a pretty aggressive, let's get this going, guys, and pick it up. And to their credit, they did. But, you know, that's just another game where they fall behind early. And, I mean, it's tough when teams bunker in and you don't have your – you know, your marquee number nine available to you, really, even though he came in that Orlando game. It's, you know, it's different than when he's starting and fully fit and everything.
So tactically then, does the pregame plan that you go over during the weekend training hold true, or is there often adjustments made at halftime, or are those adjustments fairly rare? Do you stay consistent with the plan?
The thing that I found after playing – a few teams before here and then Atlanta after here is that they're Peter and Carey and Z and the coaching staff, they are the most prepared group of coaches that I've ever played with. And it's really not close. The amount Ashley Wallace does the video and prep, and it's really not close to how well they're prepared and how they get guys to, how they relay that information to the guys. All right, this is our game plan. And I mean, not to say that it works every time, because, you know, it doesn't, but the preparation level is, I really can't say that enough, just how
that was
much further along they are.
That was echoed in Bob's article that he just wrote. That Ilya was kind of saying that exact same thing. You know, it was, he started out with Luis Enrique and was kind of on a search for a coach and a staff that were like that until he found Vermees. So,
yeah, I mean, it's true. So I think then going in there, they already know kind of what adjustments maybe that you would have to make depending. And obviously Orlando game, they didn't play, you know, all their starters.
Right.
So that might've, there needed to be probably some adjustments on that front, but I mean, they usually know what's going to work. And if it doesn't work, then they, you know, have those kind of pre-planned adjustments, if you will, kind of going in the game. And I mean, they'll adapt obviously because they're good coaches and good coaches do, but the preparation and the amount that they know is just, I think it's unequaled in MLS.
Probably Cody's turn now, but by the way, Jake, Cody will be sending you a 6-pack of hams as a reward for appearing with us, just so you know.
Well, I can't do that because actually one of the things I did discover in my research today was that you are a lover of beer. You're a big beer guy?
I do like beer, yes.
Yeah, like craft beer kind of thing?
You know, honestly, I can do anything. It doesn't matter. I can do a PBR or I can do, you know, some Kalamazoo Stout from Bell's Brewery. You know, it doesn't – I really Brewery. Can do anything. So I just like beer. I'm a beer guy.
I have coasters from Bell's Brewery.
There we go.
I do have a question about the current team more so. I do have ones about your former playing career. I have ones I want to ask about that. We'll do that for the second half. But, you know, away from the broadcast, I'm wondering if you could, you know, maybe share some critical thoughts on maybe is there a player that you are disappointed in this year that you feel like hasn't stepped up the way that they were needed to or expected?
Let's see.
I know. I mean, there's guys like, you know, like Luis Martins has a lot of fans that are upset. I actually am kind of a fan of his, but it just seems like they're, you know, they're the rotating of the back line. We can't really seem to find something that sticks, and it just seems like we've seen a couple disappointing performances. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that from a former player.
I mean, you mentioned Luis. I think he's had some good games, especially before the break. I thought he was.
Yeah.
I mean, that feels like 7 years ago now.
Oh, I know.
But I actually think Amadou Diaz has come in there and done pretty well. But if I look at the team, I think the one thing, which I'm sure a lot of you guys feel as well, is just getting the right center back pairing and figuring that out, because it's been just so erratic. And I mean, a team with, to me, with Tim Melia in goal, and to not have, you know, I don't know, a consistent amount of shutouts or consistently, you know, keeping a zero or one goal or whatever, I think that that's a big problem. Is
do you think figuring out, center backs, do you think there are two center backs that have claimed that role?
Well, I don't think so, to be honest. I think that's kind of why they have been rotating. I mean, I will always play Matt Beisler because I think Matt Beisler is one of the best players that I've ever played with. But I think he's injured now, or obviously came off that last game. And when you're dealing with injuries, as he has been, I'm sure he's not going to complain or say it, but if he's had injuries and he's dealing with those and you're never, you know, fully comfortable or fit, then obviously that affects performances. But I thought when Matt's been in there, I don't think, you know, that Orlando game wasn't the best between him and Puncic, I would say. But up until that point, I thought they had a decent relationship. But I think it's just the rotation. I think that's what the coaching staff is trying to find. They're trying to find, all right, what works best? You know, is it going to be Robbie back there with Winston Reed coming in? You know, he's had a couple good games, and then obviously he gets injured again. So I think if I look at it critically and what I expect, I think that just finding and arriving on who are going to be those two center backs, because you have to have consistency there if you want to be good and challenge for a championship.
Not only they've not been consistent, but it seems like when they have a good game, they don't have a second good game. It's been kind of weird like that this year. It's just not been, even if the pairing works really well in one game, it doesn't necessarily work the next time that they're out there together.
That's, you absolutely nailed it right there, because it's just up and down. And
the reason Thad got something right, so we're gonna go to break on that one. That being right. All right, we'll be right back.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
But it's a football night. But it's a football night. We can gather all our friends all around the Zoom. That's not a better thing to do. But it's a football night. But it's a football night. When the final whistle blows, we're gonna celebrate tonight. When the final whistle blows, we're gonna celebrate tonight. When the final whistle blows, you know we're gonna feel alright.
Alright, we're back. Now, we've talked about Sporting Kansas City currently. I would like to get some thoughts on Jake the player and his past career. I learned a lot about you today, man. Now, I knew on the field, one of my favorite things about you as a player was your defense of your teammates. Kyrie has taken over that role now. He's our best almost fighter. But if there was someone on the other team that made you mad, the camera, you couldn't hear it, but you could just see just every obscenity flying out of your mouth at these other players, and I love that about you. And I also heard you had – there were a couple times on the training ground you might have been in a few tussles. And was one time in front of Victory Project children? Did that happen?
That may have happened.
I cannot confirm or deny.
That may have happened, yeah.
A little feisty in training,
fighter, right?
That's, yeah, the almost
pushing,
fights. That's what I call
almost
it.
Fights. Yep.
Yeah,
exactly what they were.
So a little feisty in training, huh?
I feel like you need that, though. I feel like that's if your team's not getting into a few, you know, scuffles in a season, then I don't think you have any shot to win anything, because that's, you know, if you don't make trainings as hard or harder than a game, then I mean, you're not going to be ready for an actual game. And as cliche as it is, like, I mean, I stick by that on teams that actually care, and, you know, those training sessions get intense are the better teams that I've been on.
Okay, so be real with me here. a trialist pissed you off in training and you got and you gave him the business and then turned around and somebody was like, yo, there are kids here, chill out.
Well, yes, to some level, yeah. I didn't care for a few tackles and then an elbow. And
I'm a trialist? Come on, that can't happen.
Yeah, and I'm not proud of it. I'm not happy. But as I was on top of him, I think in some sort of chokehold-ish, I look up and there is a group of children on the sidelines looking up at me. And, needless to say, I helped him up. I tried to play it off, but
there you go. You taught the children what you're supposed to do in a tough situation.
I regret that there were kids that close.
did you try to play it off like I was saving him from choking or anything?
Right. Yeah, I wish I was better. I don't know.
So I've got another one. So earlier you were a little self-deprecating humor about you missing goals, but I remembered today you are the 2016 Goal of the Year recipient for Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, I think they just kind of felt bad for me. I finally scored some goals, so they were like, all right, sure.
I looked at it. It was a howler. I think that was a slow year for Sporting. Not a lot of goals. The goals went down that year. I think that was when they – was that when they traded Dwyer? Yeah, I think
Dom
the goals
still
were
there. I mean, it was a good goal. It was probably my best goal of my career, which doesn't say much because I didn't score. I wasn't capable of scoring great goals.
Yeah? Well, didn't you have – how about against Toronto? What about your game against Toronto?
I did like scoring against Toronto. I like beating Toronto more, though. They are a good organization, but I just hated my time up there. I love the city. I love visiting Toronto. It was just a terrible place to play and a terrible situation when I were there. I mean, we were terrible there, and it just wasn't enjoyable at all.
Yeah.
Okay. And also another goal in your career that I want to talk about was in 2017, you cost Sporting Kansas City a home playoff game and a better seed in the playoffs with a goal while you were with Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to say I'm sorry, but I'm not at all. I was really happy. Obviously I still, to me, and I've said it over and over on the broadcast, there's nothing like playing against your former team. I mean, I loved Sporting when I was here. I loved the city of Kansas City. I loved the people of Kansas City. But no matter what, playing against your former team, it's just, I mean, there is something more there. And anybody that says that there's not, they're just lying because there is more motivation. You care more. You could leave on the best terms and you still want to score against them. It was a good feeling, and I was glad then to have a couple of beers with Tim after the game and rub it in a little bit, and I got to score on him because I never score on him in training, so I finally got to score on him. But also, I mean, I would never celebrate against a club and a team and a fan base who meant even at that time so much to me.
Yeah, you didn't celebrate when you scored on Sporting, but you did celebrate when you scored on Toronto.
Yes, there are differences. It's not a blanket. You can't celebrate against your former team. It's
is there
any connection to this team? Do you care about you know, the people and the city? And if you do, then for me, I don't think you should celebrate. But if you don't, like I don't against Toronto. I mean, I think I scored up there. We were down a man. I think I scored late, right in front of their supporters, and I was running over there. I think it was Dom, might have been Sunni, but they had to put their hand over my mouth so I couldn't yell at the supporters what I was trying to yell at them. I appreciate that from those guys. But,
very nice.
So you mentioned the Atlanta phenomenon. Do you think that can happen again? Austin, St. Louis, or Miami, for that matter? Any of the new clubs that are coming in, is that going to happen again?
No. I mean, that was – I'm still shocked, honestly, at how when they awarded the team to Atlanta, I think I was kind of like a lot of people, like, soccer doesn't work in the South. Atlanta's not a good sports town. Like, all the factors were kind of going against Atlanta United being a success. And being there, it was incredible to see just the buzz around the city and the expansion team, the fact that we were good. They had, you know, a lot of exciting attacking players. And I don't think a team, I mean, LAFC kind of,
right.
You know, they kind of did it. But to have the off-field success and then on-field success like Atlanta did, I mean, it's tough to do. And it might seem easy because, I mean, LAFC did it right away. But, man, I don't know if you're going to get that 1-2 punch really for a while, especially as the league gets better and better too. Atlanta just nailed everything from ownership groups to coaches, even though I did not love Tata Martino very much. He could really dive into that South American lifestyle and culture and bring a lot of good players who otherwise wouldn't have come to MLS. But it was just kind of that perfect storm with Atlanta to make everything kind of pop off. And obviously they've been successful in their relatively short feature or short history.
Did you once get a red card for yelling bad call from the bench?
Did. That's good. That's good work right there. yeah, that's my only red card in my career.
There are a lot of refs that I would say that have a bone to pick with Sporting Kansas City, seemingly. So I'm very curious as to what ref did this.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't even remember it, but it was in Montreal. Of course, it had to be in Canada, and it had to be in Montreal, which is my least favorite city to go to. The fact that we played one year a 4th of July game in Montreal was maybe the worst day that I've ever been. Just why on earth would you play a 4th of July game in Montreal?
Now make Canada play each other that day.
That's a good question.
Just ridiculous.
That's a very good question.
But, yeah, it was in Montreal. I got subbed off in, like, the, I don't know, 80th minute or something. So, at least my red card did not happen when I was on the field and hurt the team. But I think it was Kai that got fouled. They didn't call it. And then Kai was called for a foul. And I think I yelled, like, it's the same thing or it's the same something. And the ref apparently thought he heard something different. And gave me red. I went into the referee's locker room afterwards and I was like, I did not, like, what do you think I said to you that earned, that deserved a red card? And he stood by his story and said, that's what you said. I couldn't believe it. I've said some things that I probably should have gotten red cards for in the past, and this one was not one at all. So it's kind of one of those, like, bizarre moments. I couldn't believe that it actually happened. I called my buddy who was working in the disciplinary committee at the league office. And I was like, dude, help me out here. And there were no field mics or anything that picked it up. Yeah, my one and only red card was.
Oh, that was it? Oh, you didn't even earn it.
No, I didn't earn it. I know.
September of 2012. That's when it was.
Nice. Long time ago. All right, guys, I promise we would keep it fairly short here. You got anyone final thoughts here, final questions for Jake?
No, I'm just curious, Jake, broadcasting career, everything you thought it would be. Do you have ambitions to be a Taylor Twellman or a, Stuart Holden or anything like that?
I think you have to be a little bit better of a player to make it to the national TV games. I don't know if I'd meet that mold, but no, honestly, I've enjoyed it. But like I said, this 2020 has been so weird and just so, for me, trying to learn this stuff on the fly and try to get better at it and get as many reps as I can to figure out if, this is something I want to do, for the future. I still don't know because it's just been stop, start. And I don't know. I'm fortunate to have Nate, Bukati, and Carter Augustine and Brad Mertel, producer, who are helping me out, guys who I knew before, obviously, but are holding my hand and making sure I have my training wheels on as I'm figuring all this stuff out.
I've been impressed. Sound like you've been doing it for a long time.
I appreciate it. I still catch myself like saying stuff and like, what did I just say? Like, I've never used those words before. Why did I just say that now?
Were they good? Like that. That's the question. Were they good?
But yeah. I mean, it's staying in the game, which I've missed since I've been out. But yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a long-term thing or what, but It's fine. I'll tell you what, games are a lot better and a lot easier to call when Sporting win. And that's true. What I tell all the guys, just win for me, please.
Well, hey, Jake, a good gauge of your popularity may be the fact that we have Ali Trost as our guest later this week. We'll see which pod gets more views. We'll let you know.
Right, yeah.
I'd listen to Ali, too. She's good.
Well, we bumped her to have you on. So.
Right. All right, well, thank you very much for joining. I think Sporting is very lucky to have you in that booth there. Everyone has very high opinions of you. Everyone I talk to, very smart and nice guy all around. So I think the fans are lucky to have your insights and the career you've had, that perspective. So we're lucky, we enjoy it, and thank you very much for joining tonight.
Thanks, Jake.
Appreciate it. You'll get your check in the mail, too. Thank you for the nice words.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Blue Testament KC, and join us at bluetestament.com and leave us a comment. And we'll talk to you later this week. Go Sporting! Woo!
Anything to shake this foot I'm in. My foot patting's got me drinking. My foot patting's got me drinking. My foot patting's got me drinking.